Welcome to tonight's show. I know it seems like we are at a strange time of the day, but listen, we have changed our show time to 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. Listen, give everybody time to get themselves together and get ready for the sisters. Because, look, we got a good show for you tonight. We're going to be playing it out, you know, by ear, you know, but definitely are looking forward to shows tonight, on this night, where people are usually at Bible study. My Bible study is on Thursday, so we're still going to share a word. We're going to share things that may encourage you, inspire you, empower you to be you, to do, not do you, but be you. You know, if I'm going to say do you, boo-boo, nah. To be you, okay? All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Come on, Rita, tell us what's going on with you. How you doing tonight?
I am good. Had a busy day, but I am good. I am blessed and grateful and all the above. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Come on, Glory. What's going on, Glory?
I'm good. I've been busy. Like, this whole July has been very productive and, you know, busy. I'm really liking Rita Bunn. Like her bun. Like, it's so cute. I'm really into this bun. Like, I'm into this bun. Like, it's, don't be mad if I come on the show next Wednesday.
With a bun. Don't get mad if I go try to find a wig, right, lace front, and try to.
Don't be surprised if I come on, because I'm thinking about putting a texturizer on my hair. Because it's hot. I'm tired of being natural, man. Every time I go outside, my hair curl up. I can't do this.
But that's the good part, though. That's the best part. Kind of hair during summer. Just wash it and go.
Man, it's just, you know, when you want to wear a weave, it'd be so hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. Because I just bought a bad wig, but can't wait. Because I'm one of them people, man. If I get too hot and frustrated, baby, in the car, I got in the car as one person, I'm getting out as another, because it's not going to work.
This bob season, just right there.
Yeah, you know, on the neck.
Yeah.
But when it's all just right here, all of it just right here, just
bob season. I can't have no hair on my neck, because when it hit my neck, it's already hot, and I just get irritated. You know what? I'll be pulling one of the queens, get in the car, see, you get in the car and, you know, do whatever. I sit in the car and put my AC on and cool off for a minute. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when I put my wig on in the summertime and it's hot, don't let me go to no outside event. I'll hop in my car, put the AC on and be like this, letting the cool AC hit my edges and everything. Like,
idea, but my car right now low on Freon, so I can't.
No, with you, man. It's low on Freon.
Low on Freon, baby. I can't tell you.
That's why it's fun working.
Oh, my God. Okay, so
the hair up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, okay, since we're on hair, and Rita said bobs are in. So, I'm going to tell y'all right now, this short haircut is a blessing sent from the Lord above. I'm telling you, right now. And the bun, I'm telling you, right now, is blessing the lives of women all over America. Uh-huh. You know, to pull it up. I saw a lady on, in a video, she had hair probably a little longer than mine, and honey got that got to be glue. Blow, hold on. I was watching because I was like, "How's she gonna do this?" I was like, "How are you gonna do this. That baby, listen. That baby took that
gorilla
glue. First,
wait, she wrote it out. It was gorilla size.
You know, made it, you know, stretch that hair, right? Then she took the got to be glue. She combed all this forward. I'm telling you, just a lot of work. She combed all this forward. Then she put that got to be glue in the middle. Pull it up in a ponytail, right? Then she took this right here. And no, she put a rubber band, right? She had a little chicken foot. I call it the little chicken foot. She had the little chicken foot, right? Then she took. Why are you laughing, Rita? Then she took the rest of it and just began to brush it. She had one of them strong brushes. She began to brush it. Baby, by the time she was finished, she had a big old pretty ponytail. But my question was, how tight was that ponytail? How tight? I can't do it, y'all. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. If it's too tight, just right there, just tight. Oh, tight. I got a problem. Baby, I can't do it.
Yeah, I seen the video. Like, I don't know if it's the same one, but I seen one like that.
Did you have blonde hair?
I honestly don't remember the color of the hair, but I did see how she pulled the hair back, and then yeah, she did that. It was I think a comedian had did their share of comedian. They was like, it was a miracle. He was like, oh my gosh, y'all want to see a miracle? You know how the comedians do them one half, you know, the video and the other half be the commentary of what they saying or whatever. Yeah. And of course, he was a comedian, so he was like going in, and I was just like,
she's
still in trouble today. She's still having issues today.
Baby. Well, I'm thinking you talking about the girl who sprayed the gorilla. You know what I'm talking about? The gorilla.
Yeah, that gorilla.
The gorilla glue. Now, like I say, I've been keeping up with her little story. She's still having problems right now.
She's still having problems.
Well, with her hair?
Yeah.
Or with her brain?
Well, that was already a problem. Lord forgive me. Okay, so.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it is what it, is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a topic out there. Okay. And we've been kind of talking about it in our shows about how we're finding a lot of conversations where with men where they are saying, am I stuck? I'm stuck in mine. Okay, anyway. So there's a lot of conversations about how men are so disappointed with Black women, and so we've been talking about that. What I would like to know is, what is the real conversation? What, as a Black culture of independent women, hardworking women, women that have had to run the household, what is the real, I'm trying to say, what should we really be talking about? You know, when it comes to Black women, Black men, and that conversation about why Black men can't deal with Black women, or why Black women don't want to be with a Black man, what should the conversation really be about? Rita?
Well, I was just trying to think. Well, in a day and time as society is now, women, black women, have kind of sort of, step up the game. And so, of course, that require men to step up the game. Because nowadays, women are more independent. Back in the day, they had to depend upon the man. They had to depend upon the man at a house. Nowadays, women are just as, much of a go-getter as the men because of, not just because you want to, it's just because of society's change. It takes, now it really does take two incomes to run a family. To have a household or have a family in general, it takes two household, I mean, two incomes. And so now the women, have to go be a go-getter just as well as the man. He's no longer just working and bringing the bread home, but if you want to talk about singleness, and a lot of times women are more independent now. They have their own car, they have their own home, they have their own business. They have all of this, and now it's like, okay, you want me to be submissive to you. However, I'm bringing, this is what I'm bringing to the table. I know my worth. I know what I want, and I have my standards. I have my morals, and it's like, okay, and you want to talk to me because. It's like, if a guy's really interested in you, it's just like, okay, so what, I'm not, as they say, I could do bad by myself. So what are you bringing? Women are more into, what are you bringing to the table now? Like I don't need nobody else that I can, I have to, take care. I want a husband, not a, kid, I mean, I gotta, I mean, you want somebody to be a husband, as you as being a wife, and the vulnerability, will whatever it takes, whatever it is in a relationship, but okay, this is what I'm bringing to the table. You got women that's so independent now that men are intimidated that, oh, what she need me for?
And I was just gonna say that, a lot of relationships, a lot of men want, they say they want a woman that is strong, that word, but they don't realize that a woman like that is not gonna put up with, with any and everything. She makes her own money. She can live on her own, And some men, like you say, why do you they want to be in a position where they are needed. You get what I'm saying? Because it makes them feel, and don't want to be in that position like that because it's not because some of them, it's a control issue. I don't want a woman that work and that strong and that, I don't want that strong black. I want that woman that know that I'm the king and know that I'm the this. So he'll say, yeah, I want you, but then when he really finds out that you can't control the way I think, you can't, sex is not gonna, you get sex is not going to control me. You know what I'm saying? I can, I can, like you say, do bad by myself, but I'm doing good. So
Right.
if getting with you takes away from me being independent, then some women choose to stay by themselves. Just for
Right.
real, if me having a job, because something like I say, when it start off, oh, that's cute. Oh, she, oh, I got a strong black woman. Oh, she worked this, she make this kind of money. And then you get married to her and you realize that she is really, really strong, right? This wasn't just to impress me. This is really who she is. I think some, like you said, they get intimidated, but it also make some men become verbally abusive. It makes them say different things because they're feeling low themselves. You get what I'm saying? How they look to their friends. Their friends are saying, oh, your woman wear the pants. Oh, your woman makes the most money. Oh yeah, it's a mess. And so I think the conversation needs to be, and I'm saying if we had a group of men and we had a group of women, what do y'all want? What do you want? This day and time, men asking for a woman with a job. She need to have a job. She need to have her own place. She need to have, it's like the conversation has flipped. women, you know, I don't know, it's a lot. Go ahead, Gloria, you should say something.
Well, I just look at it as, okay, if, you know, if, I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say the way our generations is being raised and what they're seeing at home is how they are producing themselves in relationships. Okay, like, a lot of young people, like, okay, in our generation, you know, husband, wife, get to know the parents, you know, date a little while, you know, take them to meet your pastor. Like, you know, that, those were the morals and the principles that we used to have back in our generation. But now it's like there's no accountability. There is no fathers in the home that's teaching our boys, our young boys, how to be men. So it's like anything goes now. It's like there's no type of mentorship. You know, there's no type of structure. I think that when we took God out of the home as the head of the house and the man, the head of the house, you know, it kind of just off balance a lot of the things, you know what I'm saying, in our generation. And I just feel like our men are dating based on what they see at home. They see a single mother, so most men, or, you know, they get women who already have children, who already, you know what I'm saying, have probably been married and not married no more. It's like there's no type of morals or principles. It's like I feel like our generation has lost its respect when it comes to dating. I just feel like I don't see black men, you know, going after black women. It's now where this black woman not independent. I don't want to be with her if she don't have a job, if she don't have a college education, or if she have kids, I don't want to be with her. Or now if the man has kids and he want to be with somebody who already got kids, it's like we're not dating by, you know what I'm saying, with a principle or a goal in mind. We just want what we want, and that's it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have created our own rules on what we going to tolerate and what we not going to tolerate in a relationship. It's like we have came up with our own idea of what a relationship should be. Instead of like learning about the person, getting to know the person, I think the social media has painted this picture to make us think on what a relationship should be. I feel like social media is raising our generation, is raising our men. That's how I look at it.
Well, I think a while back, the lines became the. I think that a while back, when drugs hit our neighborhoods, when a lot of things were coming into the black community, and the fathers were becoming drug addicts, men were coming back from the war, you know, with PTSD, you know, a lot of elements came into play.
Breathing again.
Okay, I'm blinking.
Yeah.
So when the black family split happened. You know, mm-hmm. the men left the household because it wasn't safe for them to be there, right? So you had a lot of women that didn't they had to go find jobs. You know what I'm saying? And so they took. The daddy was out the house. The mama was out the house working. The kids was raising themselves. Yeah. He had a generation of fatherless and, absent parents. So there's so many elements, I think, to the whole father being missing out of the household, you know, mother being missing out of the household because But people had to begin to do what they had to do to support family. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very important that men know how to appreciate an independent woman, know how to appreciate a woman that you don't have, you know, that she's not waiting at home or waiting for you to tell her what to do, you know, waiting for her to, you know, she don't make a move without you. You know, I think it's very important to give appreciation for who we are today as Black women, you know, because what are we supposed to do when the man leaves the house? Are we supposed to die? Were we supposed to just stop functioning? You know, what were we supposed to do? So guess what? As that kept happening, women had to evolve. And I think we should respect that evolution for real. Because what if we gave up just because a man wasn't in the house? You know, what if we gave up just because he wasn't going to pay child support or he wasn't going to put the food on the table, go out and kill the food and put it on the table? What if women did not evolve? It's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of successful men and women that wouldn't be around today. So I think that it's very important that we, first of all, start learning how to appreciate the strength of Black women, you know, and then after we show that appreciation, then tell us what you need, you know, because we do understand that our Black men were some of them were thrown in jail, were mistreated and victimized and taken out of their homes, you know. We do understand that, but at the same time, when will our Black men say, look at our beautiful Black women that held it down when we couldn't, when we were drunk, come on, when we were on drugs, when we were neglecting our children, come on. I'm one of those single Black women, well, I'm married now, but single Black women that raised a son that never knew his dad. And he ended up, he's a Marine now, you know. So when will we stop beating each other up and begin to appreciate our Blackness, our Black women, our Black men, men that pull themselves up out of the ditches, you know, those that came out for drugs and now getting their lives together, those that went to college, became great leaders, you know what I'm saying? And maybe they didn't go to college, but they worked a job 9 to 5, you know what I'm saying? Bring it home. When will we begin to appreciate each other? Society has taught us how to rip each other apart. It gives us a voice when we rip each other apart, when we embarrass one another, when we say, you trifling, and you try. You know, they love that conversation. They'll put that on TV. But yeah. Why don't you put on TV that man that went to work instead of creating one? Why don't you find real one and do that reality show? You know what I'm saying? That woman that's running that business, that man, and they're not cheating on each other. They're not hating on each other. They're not competing with each other. They're not destroying each other's, you know. Come on now. When are we going to do that? Because when you build a foundation on strength, power, and appreciation, you build families that honor strength. Come on, strength, appreciation. Come on, love. You are powerful. Even if it's, because we do that. We have in our culture, we try to find somebody doing worse than us so we can feel better about ourselves. Yeah. We gotta know, we gotta fix that. We gotta fix that. Okay, that's my opinion.
I was gonna say, this feedback.
This feedback?
I was gonna say, if that be the case, when you were saying how. When the men wasn't, you know, in the home or started not being in the homes due to PTSD or whatever the case may be, and the women had to learn how to take care of the family alone. They had to do what they had to do, and I And like I normally always say, I say women just don't want to wear a cape. I get in a relationship, I want to be there having a cape on. I don't want to have to be superwoman all the time, you know. And so women learn to have to you know, be superwoman, because if I, you know, though I'm you're with me, if you step out for whatever reason, you know, then I have to put the cape on and handle my, I got kids, I got a family, I got a home, I got vehicles, I got to do what I got to do to make sure, you know, this boat still function. And, you know, and I think when that started happening, you know, then women started teaching their young girls to be strong, independent women. Always get your own. I mean, because you don't want to be, you want to be independent to the point of, okay, yes, I'm with you, but just in case you decide that you want to just go do your thing or step out, or you know, God forbid he take you on, whatever the case may be, you still want to be independent enough to know how to run your home. You still want to be independent enough to know how to manage your money, to make sure you have a job or a business or something to keep you going, you know, because you, like I said, you just never know what the situation. You want your own bank account. You want all of these things, your own benefits, you know. Somebody always say, "Oh, you need to have a man with benefits." I'm like, "No, I can have my own benefits. That's a bonus. Yeah. That's a bonus." But my thing is, nowadays we feel as though like I don't have to have somebody to take care of me. God give me the strength and the willpower to be able to take care of myself, because, like I said, you know, you can't always depend on. For one, you're grown. You know, hey. Period. That you're not promised to be, you know, I always say two is better than one, but nevertheless, you're not promised that you're going to get married or you're going to be in the best relationship, or, you know, it's just, you just never know. So you want to be able to be well enough. And women have came to that point where they no longer have to be dependent. Not saying we don't know how to be in a relationship, you know, how that works. But at the same time, in case I have to, you know, be on my own, I know how to provide for myself. And, you know, and that's what they start teaching the young girls. So as they get older,
hold on, I want you to go back to what you said. Because God made us a helpmate. And I think that as women today, that we are the closest to a helpmate as God was telling us to be. You know, some men that thought a helpmate was you have my food ready when I get home. You have that house clean when I get home. You have that, you know, and then some, but we don't understand that, like you were saying, but what if you get sick? What if, you know, what if something happens and you cannot provide at the level you were providing before? You know, what are we supposed to do while we're trying to make sure one person is subservient and the other one is dominant, right? While we're trying to make sure that role is played out, why? I always tell people, we can read now, okay? We can read now, okay? So if, because we talk about the virtuous woman in the church. Okay, the virtuous woman wasn't just sitting at home. She was virtuous woman was doing stuff. You know, the virtuous woman, you know, even back in the day, I'm going to just testify by me. Back in the day, you know, okay, I was a housewife, but I was doing hair. You know what I'm saying? I had money stashed under pillows and shoes and socks, you know what I'm saying? And look, when it got rough, I didn't tell him, well, I could pay that. No, I just, hey, baby, slip him some, you know, it was me being a help. But yeah, a lot of men can't see a woman as being, even though she made more money than him, he sees that as a threat. But if a relationship is built on the right foundation, no matter how much money, more money she makes than him, you know, if she's loving him right and he's loving her right, because some people are putting it's on if he can provide. But what can we do together? What can we do as a team? For better, for worse. What if he can't provide? Are you gonna leave him? What if she don't have a job? is this foundation really built, you know, on the right thing? You know, I ain't saying go marry somebody lazy that don't want to that don't want to do nothing. I'm saying, what if we're gonna talk about relationship? You know, we talking about, like, what is it built on? Is it built on a partnership? Can you, the man saying, can you provide for me? You know, the man saying, you know, what are we doing? What are we building these relationships on?
That's what I think. This is my opinion. Like you said, the foundation.
I'm echoing.
It's the foundation when it comes to a relationship. Okay. If the foundation is built right with the right principles and the right standards, then you may have a successful relationship going into a prosperous marriage. If you knew, like, this is why I always tell, you know, a lot of young people in my generation, you got to date with a purpose. If the foundation, when you meet somebody and you already see their habits, okay? You already see their habits, okay? When if they habits, if you're dating this person and you already know, okay, you see this person habits in one way of their life, that way of their life, they like that in every area of their life. Habits, okay? So basically, the foundation is built where you making a choice where you're going to stay with this person because of their habits or whatever they got going on in their personal life, or you're going to, you know, split ways. Like, you have to figure out what you're getting yourself involved in before you even get in a relationship with anybody. You have to figure out what you going to tolerate and what you not going to tolerate. It all has to go back to the foundation and the principles of a household that's being built. Because when you date somebody, and then y'all start becoming boyfriend and girlfriends, you already knew this person had habits. You already knew this person was a cheater or whatever, that you couldn't trust. Trust has to be built in a relationship before it even gets to, you know what I'm saying, a certain level of I do. Like, if you dating this person and you already feel like you can't trust them, then, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't even take it to the next level. I mean, I feel like we so desperate to be in a relationship, we don't care about all the flaws and all the habits that from the beginning. So the foundation is not even solid enough because we ignore so many things before we even, you know what I'm saying, make it to the next level in the relationship. We ignore so many signs, like, because we so desperate to move so quickly, because that's what's going on in our society. Life is making people want to choose quickly. Social media is making people want to choose quickly. It's like, okay, this person over here doing it, I'm not doing that, so I need to catch up. I'm getting older, I got to catch up. You know what I'm saying? So we're dating without a purpose. We're dating people for all the wrong reasons. The foundation is not solid, so the household is failing everywhere. You know, and Matt is just failing because we get involved in the wrong type of situations, and we're not being mindful of what we get ourselves involved in. We're not doing our homework. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, Glory, what she just said, I was just talking actually to someone the same thing last night about dating with the purpose, because, like you said, if you see things need to go, as you know, got to take levels of relationships, and based on, you know, what is your relationship based on? Dating with a purpose, or like you said, is it okay? Sue had two in the last month. Let me give me a number three. I mean, you just be like, wait a minute. It's like everybody's so desperate. Cause somebody had came to me the other day and was talking to me about, oh, I'm gonna hook you up with something. I'm like, So, and like, I seen the question, you was like, what is a relationship based on? She was like, oh, first off, the person was 15 years older than me. And I'm like, I'm not interested just because of that, first off. Secondly, I'm like, they was like, oh, I'm like, y'all about my daddy age. I'm like, nah, let me stop. But anyway, she was like, well, he got lots of money and this and that. I'm like, first off, that don't mean nothing to me, because I don't relate a relationship based off money Oh, you're an artist. He was an artist. He's this. He's successful. He doesn't need anything for you. First off, that's not dating with the purpose. You know, you can get with somebody, and just because he's rich or he has money, or you know, that's where your power of choices come in at. Because I'm like, first off, the age threw me out. First off, I couldn't even think straight after that. I was, but secondly, I was like, okay, he have money, and I mean, I look past. That's not my first. You have to have those things where your morals and your standards. There's number one, what you want a relationship in. Okay, number two, there are some things that before we even get to financially stable, there are some other stuff that you already need to have before we even get to that point. Because you know, you know, yes, you got money. He's rich. Okay, and like that don't, to me personally, that don't mean anything to me. You know, because I have other things before that. So it's like when you say date with a purpose, I tell the young people, I said, because what you're doing is waiting on a broken heart. I was like, you doing this, and you waiting on a broken heart. And I was telling the young lady last night, I said, pray and ask God for discernment to understand these people that you're running into and what they after. Because if you don't run, you'll run yourself right into a broken heart just because you want to be in a relationship, just because you're desperate and you want to have somebody like everybody else having somebody. And how many people that they say hurt people, because people not waiting, they're not healing no more. They just going into rebound relationship after relationship. And that's how the trend continue, because hurt people is hurting people and hurting people, and it's going on and on and on. And nobody taking this time to step back, evaluate themselves, evaluate the relationship they just came out of. Where do I need healing so I won't hurt nobody like this? Take the time to heal. And you, like you said, what is this relationship based off? Is we dating with a purpose? Is you gonna help me fulfill my purpose? What is your purpose in
What's
my
the
life?
goal? What's the ultimate goal?
What is your purpose in my life?
I want to say this because we, and maybe because I'm an old lady, I don't know, but I think that that all of that sound good. But date with a purpose, but we really have to date past that, because that needs to be part of it. But we got to really elevate that, because that's why some relationships are shallow. You know, I heard a preacher say this. He said that when God elevated him to a pastor, and his wife told him, "I didn't sign on for that. You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, I'm not, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I didn't sign on for that." And God showed me that. He said, because we hear a lot of people say, "We're a power couple," or "we're this and we're with that." But when we get past being a power couple and have to deal with one person not being where you think they should be because you on another level, right? It knocks out, then it's not about relationship anymore. It's okay to say, you know, are you here? Because I heard somebody say it to you, "You here to help me fulfill my purpose." But what happened to that love? That because we're gonna get old one day. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're gonna retire. So that's a part of it, but as a whole in a relationship, you should be looking for something more wholesome than just what part, you know, how are you going to help push me into this, or are you going to help be there, or are you going to be there with me for this? We never think about when we grow old, you know, that love, are you really a help to me? And sometimes we think that help means financial, that help means, but it really means, are you in this for the long haul? What kind of conversation are you having with me? Even if you are not a part of my dream as far as my business or my organization, are you a part of me? Are you where I came? We are women. We came from a man. God, you know, he took a rib from Adam. You know, Where is the connection spiritually? Where is the connection as far as my heart? Where is, if I get sick, can I count on you to be there when I'm no longer, if I get to a place where I'm not passionate anymore, I'm not pursuing things, and I'm just at home and I'm that just that pretty old lady, are you going to still be by my side, or are you going to go to seek somebody else that's going? We need to have more of a foundation to relationships, you know, than that. That's a part of it. You know, that's a part of it. But what happened to us wanting that person we can grow old with, wanting that person that we can weather all the storms with? Is that person good with money? Does that person have my best interest at heart? You know how we played Would You Rather, right? If I can't see, are you, you know what I'm saying? Can I trust you to dress me? You know, just a little thing. We have to get back to a place where people are falling in love for real, where people are actually caring about each other, where people are actually, you know, say he's young and you young and he can't work anymore. Is the love still there? See, our foundation is missing. And I think Gloria, one of you said it earlier, is God first? Is God in this? You know, did he put us together? Because it's, what if somebody comes into your life and God says that's the one, but he can't do some things that you really want him to do? Is that, you know, are you going to change? You know, Lord, that ain't what you, no, that ain't for me. But that's the one God sent for you. What you going to do? You going to say, oh, well, he can't, he, you know, no. Are we really putting God first? Is this really about who God made you to be with and who God made you for? Or who, you know, is that the truth? You know, because sometimes it's questionable when I see people in these relationships. We're a power couple, but they can't stand to be around each other.
You know
they,
what, Queen? What, Queen? I have to say, what if?
What if?
And you know, you have to be more than just perfect. Because what if God allows you to marry somebody that don't have the qualities that you want them to have? What if God is going to use you to build something greater in that person, you know, through God, with the help of God? Like, what if God allows you to marry somebody that don't possess the qualities that you want them to have? Or let's just say you have somebody who's financially stable. What if God allows you to marry somebody who ain't? Because they parents are never financially stable. They never know how to manage finances. But God allowed you to marry somebody who's complete opposite of what you are. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? How can you determine what it means to be equally yoked or unequally yoked? Because a lot of people are, like you said, power couple. What is your definition of a power couple? Because my idea of a power couple is two people denying themselves to become one. That's my idea of a power couple. Somebody who's constantly fighting the odds of them being selfish. The reason why a lot of relationships and marriages are failing is because people are selfish. It's all about them, what I want, everything is about them. You get what I'm saying? I agree with you, it has to be more than just purpose. Are we in this if I lose my ability to make money? Are you still going to hold my hand? If I lose a lung, are you still going to take me to my doctor's appointment? Are you still going to be there for me if everything fails? You get what I'm saying? I think that God has to be the foundation of the relationship. God has to pick your partner versus... You know what I'm saying? You seeing somebody who may be compatible with your ideal of what you want versus God's ideal of what you want.
Well, I think that's very hard,
but it all has to go with your relationship with God. How much are you trusting God versus trusting your capabilities of a man? You get what I'm saying? How much are you trusting God versus what you want?
That's true, but see, that's why I wanted us to to explore that conversation between Black men and Black women and understand, like we always say, going back to the root of things. You know, like I say, women have evolved into strong women. You know, mm-hmm. our men are feeling left behind. Our men are feeling, but this is something that, like I say, we all have, you have to take responsibility for where you are. You have to, God is not ignoring what you want in a relationship, but he does know what you need. Mm-hmm. You know, and on the spiritual side, a lot of us, a lot of the things we write down about what we want in a man, most of them superficial, most of them are out of our brokenness. Some of them are out of our loneliness. Some of that stuff we write down is not from a sober place, you know. And so, you know what I'm saying? Some of us, we're bad with money, but we don't want to admit that. Lord, give me a man with a lot of money. Because you know you're bad with it, you're going to spend it on whatever. You know what?
Let me just say this. What happens when you get a man with a lot of money, but he don't have time to spend with you? What if you date somebody who got a successful business? You got a successful business. When are you guys going to create balance to have time for each other?
That's what I was talking about, Lori. That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm telling you, I was seeing all these people posting their pictures. We're a power couple. We're a power couple. And I was saying, man, you know, when did we forget about intimacy? When did we forget about, are you his best friend? You know what I'm saying? When did we forget about, you know, because, yeah, I want you, are you, I want you to, like, really say, I want, are you going to, you know, help make sure that I fulfill my, are you going to hinder my purpose? Now, all of that is in that gumbo, but if you're not loving me right, I don't care how many tents you buy for my outreach. If you're not loving me right at home, you know, if you're not, you know what I'm saying? I don't care how much money you put into the things I do. If you cussing me out for, you know, in your pastime, I don't care what you do. It's not built on a sure foundation. You know, that's why I say God is love. If we don't learn how to love ourselves and love the person that we're with for real, you know, then whatever we're trying to do as far as purpose and all this kind of stuff, that's why some people need to just stay single and pursue your purpose. Because if somebody else come in there, you don't have space. Some people don't have space because all they are about is purpose. But when you understand that your purpose, when you're with the right person, guess what? Your purpose is not only going to go forward, but it's going to blossom. You're going to see things about you. God's going to show you the key to different things you couldn't figure out. That mm-hmm. person is going to come. And I'm telling you, all of it falls in sync with each other. Once you realize that this person is there to be in your heart, there to support you, there to lift you up when you look. When you want to give up, come on. They may not understand what you're doing, but they're gonna say, hey, whatever. Come on. We have to understand that it goes beyond a partnership. We gotta be, we are intimate partner. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about just like my husband goes to the store and I forget to tell him to get something. He come in the door with it. You get what I'm saying? I'm talking about being in sync with one another. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to upset you. Look, I'm not going to get in an argument with you before you got to preach. You know what I'm saying? I can hold that. I can hold what I got to say. Is that person that sensitive to your life? Because your purpose is your life. Mm-hmm. You know? Is that person sensitive to what you need? Is that person making sure that, you know, and vice versa? Are you doing that for that person? Because like you said, Gloria, people get so selfish. Are you going to give me what I need? But are you going to give them what they need? You see what I'm saying? That's why I say the conversation between a Black man and a Black woman needs to be, can you give me what I need? And I'm available to give you what you need. You know, you can't fix how this happened. But I can appreciate who Black women have evolved into. And I can appreciate my Black king. I can appreciate your, you know, when you're in a relationship, maybe a person don't know their purpose yet. And God use you to say, oh, you're good at that. Have you ever tried starting a business, doing it? You know, when a man and a woman come together in a relationship, right? Then it's a lot of things that's unlocked with you too. You get what I'm saying? It's a lot of things you discover about yourself. My husband, when I met him, I didn't know I could paint. I started painting. Come on now. You know? Yeah, he get on my nerves sometimes. But you know what I'm saying? But I start painting. You know what I'm saying? So if you have to find out if that person is, if you're that rib of that person.
Right.
Are you vital to that person? I don't want a person that can't, that don't think about me during the day. I don't run across their mind. I'm talking about the intimacy. Cause come on. This ain't just about if you can, you know, get some tents. God will send somebody with some tents, but when I'm crying and about to give up, can you talk me out the leg?
Can you minister to me?
Come on.
Can you minister to me?
That's a deeper connection. And sometimes, sometimes we pass up our good thing because we can't see them. They be right there. They've been right there the whole time. They've been walking us through. We've been confiding in them. They hold us when we cry, when we go through them breakups with them. Come on. And they be that person that was there the whole time.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a God thing. It's a go ahead.
I was just saying, we have to also know, like you were saying earlier, which made me think in a different way, is to, it's not so much as our preference. You know, we all have our preferences, because I was telling somebody that today, I said, we have our preferences. I say, but I'm like, I don't want this. I say, but if God brings this person to me and he have this, I'm like, then, you know, I'll have to accept what God allow. I think the most important thing is knowing that this person is a God-sent person. I think, and don't just get in relationships with anybody, because like you said, you won't be their perfect fit. It will not work out, because, you know, you just in, you, it's like a puzzle. Try to put a puzzle piece in a place that it don't go. It's not going to fit. And it, you know, so the same thing, relationships, like, you know, God, if this person is God, you got to know and make sure is from God. We have to lose our own wills. Like, we got to die to our own flesh. Say, God, what is this person you have for me? And like you said, it may not be on your checkoff list. Well, you know, I want him to be tall, dark skin, handsome, six pack, whatever these lists that be all of this stuff. I mean, what if he's short? Chunky, whatever, it be the total opposite of what you want, but this is who God has for you, you know. So it goes beyond, especially outside appearances. It goes beyond, and like I said, I believe that when we was talking about dating with a purpose earlier, I believe that whatever assignment God has on your life, you and your husband, Simon's will be in alignment. You know, it will align together, so to help you, you know, to work together in ministry or work together in whatever it is God has you to do. I really doubt that God will put you to somebody totally opposite of you, because then it would be confusion. It'd be confrontation, because y'all on two different levels. As we speak about unequally yoked, you on two different levels. Of course, there's going to be confrontation. And so I just believe that God will align you up with the person that, you know, because if they not in alignment with me as to purpose field on birth in both ways, he gonna put, like you Queenie was saying, like, you'll get with this person, then you start to blossom, you start, it's like your eyes are open up, because it was meant to be. You know, sometimes when it's meant to be, you gonna automatically connect, because it's like a magnet. You know, you're gonna automatically connect, because this is who God has for you. And like you were saying, or you look beyond for a purpose. Okay, if I get sick, will you do this for me? You know, you're might help me, God put you here for me, then I believe this is what you should do. And like when them wedding vows, when I hear them wedding vows, oh, that's some scary stuff. It says for better or for worse. You don't know as because your relationship will evolve throughout the years. You know, it will change throughout the years. You're going to have to know a new person, you know, 5 years down the road, you might be somebody else. God might have a new assignment for you. Can we evolve together? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and you know, when you involve in the relationship, the you know, and something might get, somebody might get sick, you know, or anything like that. It says, for better or for worse, will you stand with me? You know, that's the scare. You're like, okay, do you know, to death do us part. I mean, them are some major vows. Like, I promise to do, you saying, I promise to be there for you through better, for better or for worse. And you don't know what that worse entails. That's the part that, so people have to be careful when they just, you know, I'm very careful. You know, I might be a little too careful, but you know, I just, you know, yeah.
But I think that for people to try to simplify what a relationship is, or because we went from, you know, we started off black man, black woman, but we have to understand that we cannot put, I can't stand my relationship by somebody else's relationship and run it on the same rules and, you know, it's not like that, you know. No two people are the same, not really, but like you say, it'll fit together like a puzzle piece if God put it together. And we have to learn how to love each other. Sometimes we so picky, till if we looked in the mirror and dealt with our own stuff, come on now. We got issues, we got imperfections, we got stuff that people gonna have to put up with. You get what I'm saying? We got stuff that we ain't healed from. I don't care how a person say they healed 100%. Nobody heals 100%. You know, when your mate comes, some stuff comes to the surface. You know what I'm saying? I'm just with you. And I think that when we stop looking for perfection, you know, and start loving ourselves, if we can love ourselves and we can see love when it shows up, mm-hmm. If we can learn to appreciate ourselves and we can see appreciation when it shows up, you know. But if we are walking around with bitterness, resentment, and all this stuff, we'll know bitterness when it shows up. I mean, come on, because we'll be attracted. Whatever's going on within us, we tend to attract. Yeah. And sometimes when we're in the presence of God, even in our brokenness, God will send that love, and that love will begin to cover. That love will begin to heal. That love will begin. Come on. Hallelujah. Right and wrong. Come on. But, like, you know, but again, it starts with us. It starts with us being in love with the person that God created. Amen. Hallelujah. Because how can we love somebody else if we can't love ourselves? And, okay, so my last thought for black men and black women. Let's stop pointing at each other and let's start healing each other. How about that? Let's start a healing process. All right. We're at the end of the show. Come on, Glory. Give your last words.
You know what? You gotta stop pushing me off guard. But you know what? I'm supposed to mess you up, Rita. I'm supposed to mess you up. Look. She's like, oh my God. Look. Hey, I'm signing out. Those vows you make when you get married, they're not biblical.
Nowhere, look, nowhere in the Bible. Watch this. The words are beautiful and they are precise and on point.
Baby, they're not biblical. Because you know why? And I'm signing out. I promise. They're not built because people fail their promises every day. The only promise that stands is God promises. People fail you every day. They can promise you with tears in their eyes. Peace. People fail every day. But on that note, I'm signing out. I love y'all. This is an awesome.
Yes, it is.
This was an awesome. Whoa. I will see y'all again at 8 p.m. next Wednesday.
Yeah, you just threw a whole open book in there.
Oh, yeah.
That monkey
we need ring. Let's go into that on the next show. It's not about. Oh, not
I never thought of it like that. Yeah, on that note, we're going to sign out. Look, I'm speechless. Meet us here at 8 o'clock next week on Wednesday. Have a good evening.
All right, y'all. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And listen, a woman was made from a rib from Adam, okay? So if you are a big rib, then guess what? Adam's rib cage is huge. All right, I'm out.